aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a bird cage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
All right, it's the 7 at 11. Now, Sunday Karma, earlier this morning, breaking news has announced an acquisition of producer Alex Stroph from Kyle Brust and Nortman, as well as national ESPN radio host and retired host of Scalzo and Brust, Greg Scalzo, will be joining Sunday Karma in 2025. So we did not have to give anything up in this deal. Kyle Wallace still stays as producer, rejects the opportunity to become a host. I stay as a host in 2025. The expectation is there will be more Sunday Karmas as we have more depth on the roster. Breaking news from Sunday Karma. Now, the other breaking news. There have been discussions that what was formerly the 9 at 9, when this show was an 8 to 10 show in the morning, that's when this show originally aired, because the LTN hour, Let's Talk NASCAR, which it was called Let's Talk NASCAR, then the dudes got sued by NASCAR, so they had to change the name to the LTN hour. And they used to be on 10 to noon, and we made way more money on that show than on our show. So we used to be 8 to 10, and the Let's Talk NASCAR.
Where's LTN at now?
I don't know. It's a good question. Those guys are good dudes. At least they were always good to me. I don't know. I think we eventually moved them to 8 to 10 for a minute, and then they, I think, decided to go their separate way. But the 9 at 9 became the 7 at 11. There's people questioning that in this day and age, there's always been Google, but in a Google and AI age, should there be a 7 at 11? Because so much of what the 7 at 11 has become has been questioning who's honest and who's not.
Yeah, it's tough because we don't know who's keeping it real and who's not. And I make this plea out to those who love Sunday Karma. Is it ain't that serious. I love me a good 94.5 ESPN shirt, but cheating ain't the way to go. It's not the way to go.
But if it's so inside your head, I mean, does this have to become where the questions are truly subjective? Where it is like, all right, what are Kyle's 7 favorite Jamie Foxx movies?
Ah, there's a lot of them. He got a lot of great movies.
You know what I mean? Like, does it have to become that? Now, because then even if people look them up, they're not going to know
which one it is.
Now, AI, once AI gets better, you know, maybe it'll know Kyle well and be able to help predict.
Your phone listens to what you say. That's why you get those ads.
Yeah. So, but a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion on the Reddit channel that discusses Sunday Karma of if 7 at 11 will continue into 2025. But this will, in fact, be our last 7 at 11 of 2024. It could be the last ever. So could I potentially run the table? Because it is time for that 7 at 11.
Well, Craig, this is your opportunity. And this one is thinking about the opponents the Green Bay Packers have played this year. There's been a lot of conversation about whether the Packers are good.
Oh, wait. Here's a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who's the last team the Packers lost to not in the NFC North?
It would be the, oh my goodness, I know it, but I don't want to look down at my phone because I have it there. It was the Eagles.
Good job.
Week 1.
That. Packers haven't lost to a non-NFC North team since week 1.
Yeah, it was against the Eagles, and that is my whole point.
The Packers have not lost in this continent to a team not in
the
NFC
North. That is true. They have not lost on this continent. And so that leads me to this, because there's a lot of discussion whether or not people believe in the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people are uneasy based off some polls on KBN that we had this week, Kyle Brust and Nortman, 2-5 on ESPN Wisconsin, about people feeling very uneasy about this game and people not really believing in the Green Bay Packers, Craig. So what I want to know is the 7 teams in the NFL who have scored the most points per game this year. Who are the top 7 teams in the NFL who have scored the most points per game this year? And if there is a tie, I will allow all those answers.
So is there a tie?
There is a 3-way tie.
Oh, so we're trying to get 9? So you got to get 7 of the 9, you're saying?
You got to get 7 of the 9, yeah.
Okay. I'll start with the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions, Detroit, yes, they are number one on this list, averaging 32.1 points per game. The Green Bay Packers have fallen to the Detroit Lions twice this year. They are number one in points per game this season. So you have number one, Craig.
Okay. It's weird. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens next.
The Baltimore Ravens, their defense sucks this year. They're trash. So they had to put up a lot of points, and that is good enough for number three on this list, Craig, as they have 29.5 points per game. So you have number one in Detroit. Now you have number two in Baltimore, Craig.
Oh, you said they were number three.
Three in Baltimore,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Gosh, I would have said they were number two. So now, who would I have next? All right. I'm risking something here just because. But
I feel like you're going down the right path.
I'm going to say this team's bad, though. I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals. I had a feeling you were going to go that direction. The Cincinnati Bengals also has a defense that can't stop anybody, and they are averaging 27.8 points per game, which makes them good enough for number five on this list.
Okay. I'm going to then say the Buffalo Bills. Maybe they're number two if the Ravens weren't.
Number six on this list, sorry. You said the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, because if the Ravens were three, there has to be someone who's number two.
The Buffalo Bills are number two, averaging 30.5 points per game this season, Craig. So you have number one with Detroit. You have number two with Buffalo. You have number three with Baltimore. You have number six with Cincinnati.
All right. So there's three more for the win. There's so many teams floating through my mind right now. Obviously, the Chiefs are floating through my mind because they've won a lot of games, but I don't feel good enough about them. The Steelers are floating through my mind because, you know, since Russ has been there, they're putting up points. But I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles are tied for number seven on the list with 26 points per game. They are tied for number seven on this list. Now, Craig, you have number seven. You have number one. You have number two. You have number three. You have number six. You are missing two more who are actually in the top seven. There's two more who are tied for number seven. But also, the whole point of this
The whole point of this was you said something about the Packers.
The Green Bay Packers.
This. Yes.
So the Packers played who? Detroit. Lost to them twice. Top seven in scoring. They played the Eagles once. Top seven in scoring.
Yep. So I think we know that there's a quarterback who threw five touchdowns last week.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes.
And they've been quite the prolific team. They put up a lot of points against the Green Bay Packers. You kind of helped me there. I'm going to say the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings are also tied for number seven as well, Craig. And with this one, I'm going to make you have to get number five and number four as well, because I want you to get those two. But tied for number seven is the Minnesota Vikings, who are also averaging 26 points per game as well. And so the whole point for those who are hating on the Green Bay Packers, it's the Green Bay Packers have played some good football teams, some great football teams, and they have not beaten any of those great football teams. But those football teams they have lost to aren't a walk in the park. These are all top teams in the NFL. They still have something to prove. But people, let's calm down and stop acting like the Packers aren't a good team.
Okay. So I mentioned the Chiefs. I mentioned the Steelers. But I'm going to go off the board here.
Okay, let's see here.
And I'm going to go to a team that I feel like they put up like 50 in a game, and they put up some big numbers. They are 8-5. Wildy mentioned them earlier. I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders.
I like where your head is, Craig. Yes, the Washington Commanders are number 4 on this list. They are averaging an astounding 28.9 points per game this season, Craig, which is incredible because we all know their biggest issue was scoring points. They couldn't score. They had a loaded defense these last couple years that could make some stops, but then at the end of the game, you know, they weren't scoring enough points between all these different quarterbacks. They found their franchise guy in Mr. Jaden Daniels, which has allowed for them to start putting up points where the Washington Commanders are now number 4. Now, Craig, you've gotten 7 already, so you can take the victory.
But you're saying it doesn't count. You're saying I need to...
No, you can take the victory, but this is what I want you to do because I know how prideful you are. I want you to get the last one.
Yeah, I don't think it should count. I mean, you had said it should count, but I feel like if I get one of the tie, it's 7, but if I don't get number 5.
Okay, well, then it's on you to get number 5.
So I've gotten number 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, and 7. I've actually gotten 8. Yeah. Or no, I've gotten 7.
You got an 8. I mean, you got an 8. No, 7.
Because we're missing number 5 and one of the tied for number 7.
Yes.
All right. And I look at, I mean, by the way, like the Browns and the Broncos had like a crazy scoring fest the other night.
They did.
There's so many teams. I don't feel like I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't feel like, I mean, obviously the Packers are a team I'm thinking about too in there. Like, you know, should they be in the mix? All right. At the end of the day, God, at the beginning of the year, though, with Justin Fields, I was going to go with the Steelers as my final guess, but I don't think I can, even though they put up all those numbers last week.
Take a deep breath. Go through, you know, the Rolodex of teams in your head. Who's been putting up points? Who's
on
been putting
what
up
could
numbers?
Be the final 7-11 ever in the history of this show. Can I pull it out on the final guess? We will find out when we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, we got history on the line here. Top 7 scoring teams in the NFL, but there's actually 9 total when you include ties. So, Kyle, make sure to not give the one that I'm looking for, but name. I have actually gotten 7 correct of the 9. What we have said is if I go 9 for 9 here, we could end the 7-11 forever based on AI and all the things that are going on around people cheating. But we could just adapt it as we go into a new Sunday Karma in 2025.
All
so
right.
Who has been guessed correctly here?
And do not give the team as I read it off.
Yes, make sure.
I have an issue doing that. Yes. You go, I'm ready.
Make sure. And all I need to do, if I get number 5,
it's
win. Because then I'll have gotten 8 of the 7. You know, because there are 9 with ties. Here we go.
All right. Number 1, you got Detroit. Number 2, you got Buffalo. Number 3, you got Baltimore. Number 4, you got Washington. You have not gotten number 5. Number 6, you've gotten Cincinnati. Tied for number 7, you have gotten Philadelphia. Tied for number 7, you have gotten Minnesota. You are missing number 5 on this list. Craig, do you have a guess?
This is like the worst team to pick in anything. They're terrible when I bet on them. They're terrible when I pick them in any of our pools. But I just feel like they've put up points all year. I am going with Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons for the win.
Oh, Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons, Craig. Not only have they killed you when it came to, you know, whatever you've been doing with them, they also killed you today. Kirk Cousins and them, they're not even in the top 15.
Oh.
They are at 21 points per game, way off there. Can't trust them.
Oh.
I had the music ready to go. I was so excited to celebrate with you.
My backup, and maybe this would have been equally bad. Should I say it or should we open up the phones?
You can just say it.
Open up the phone. Oh, okay. Because that'll still leave one.
Yeah, it will.
The other one I was going to say, even though they had all those injuries, I felt like still the Buccaneers continued to put up points no matter what.
Oh, my gosh. Number 5 on the list is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No.
Those dang Falcons got you again. Didn't even know it.
You can't trust the Falcons.
You cannot trust the Falcons. Can you believe
you
that,
Craig?
You
can never trust Kirk Cousins in primetime. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you at all. I'm not. The number five team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Why? Who have
averaged 27.9 points per game, which is 6 points more than what the Atlanta Filthy Falcons have done. Oh, my goodness, Craig. Oh, my goodness. That's got to hurt.
Mayfield, I knew. I don't know why the Falcons are like my kryptonite. Why would I say them? I just felt like Bijan's had such a big year, but like so has.
Craig is literally on the floor hurting right now. He's hurt. He's hurt. This meant a lot to him. I told him, I'm cheering for you, buddy. I'm cheering for you. Poor thing.
I don't know if the 7-Eleven could end on a bitter defeat like that.
The Falcons, they can't be trusted. That's their MO, Craig.
So that was the top eight of the seven. And so then there was one other tie that we didn't get, which I had a lot of teams in mind for that. Who would that? Should we open that up or should we just knock that out?
I mean, I think you know which team it is.
Is it Packers?
The Green Bay Packers. Yeah. Yes, the Green Bay Packers are top 10 in scoring this year, and that is my whole point. And Craig, I know you're hurt right now because I'm hurt for you. You had it, but you went with the team that you should never go for. I should have said something. I should have said, Craig, if they are forever losing you something, don't go with them. Go with the other one.
No, but that's that. Sometimes you got to learn the hard way in life. That was a crusher.
I stopped messing with the Falcons last year. You know why? Because you know how we have cover five, which we got to figure out this cover five bet, because I wanted to get you fat and happy for Christmas or for Hanukkah, for your celebration, whatever y'all got going on over there.
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa. I'll get you fat and happy for Kwanzaa. And not having it.
Yeah. I know January 20th is being discussed now.
Oh, is it?
Although George Webb is like, we don't want you there.
That's MLK Day.
No, I guess it's not January 20th. Oh, yeah, because I'll be at the college football playoff. January 10th.
Wait, the college football playoff is what day?
On MLK Day.
Dang, they playing that late into the season?
And it's inauguration day.
Oh, that's a lot going on. I mean,
Donald Trump making it happen as a tribute to Martin Luther King.
I guess so. He said, I have a dream too. Yep. I have a dream.
I'm not saying we'll have a bigger crowd at the inauguration versus MLK in D.C. We'll leave the crowd counting for other shows. We don't need to mess with that on this show.
No, we do.
We will get into the Packers, Seahawks, the slate of NFL games. Devin Williams got traded. The Bucks are in the finals of the NBA Cup, and we have less than 25 minutes to go for me to recover from.
I'm a bad producer, Craig, but
defeat.
I had it ready for you, Craig.
Oh man, that was a tough defeat.
I was gonna have this music.
I mean, but you could see where I'm coming from with the Falcons, right?
I had it. No, I don't see where you're coming from with the
Falcons. Really? You don't think they put up numbers?
They put up numbers. I mean, they had like a couple good games.
Well, and I was thinking about that Cousins hasn't been having touchdowns, but Bijan Robinson's been scoring a lot of touchdowns.
I think Kirk Cousins, he hasn't thrown a touchdown. He's had like zero touchdowns and eight interceptions or like that over the last three weeks.
But then I was thinking like Baker Mayfield, he was missing his two receivers for a long time. He's been scoring.
Baker Mayfield is the most underrated number one draft pick of all time.
I think I'm playing against him in our fantasy football league playoffs today.
Good luck.
I got Joe Burrow, and I am going against Baker. Yeah, I'm going against Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm 62% to win right now.
Yeah, those percentages.
The game hasn't even started.
Those percentages mean nothing. I had like 2% to make the playoffs in one of my other leagues where Ben was like, hey, I'm playing for you, Brad, so you can get in. Next thing you know. So he told me, yeah, Kyle, you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
I check on Tuesday. I'm like, oh, I'm in the playoffs. What happened?
But I have Burrow and Chase, so I think basically if they're popping, then it's good. If Burrow and Chase struggle, then I'm done. Like, I'm kind of all in on those guys. All right. We will continue with more Sunday Karma. ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. ContentOnDemand.com.
I'm still not recovered from that. The Falcons, like they are my kryptonite. Tell me Bijan Robinson's going to cost me my fantasy league today after that.
I mean, I'm telling you, Craig, last year I used to pick the Falcons. Even this year, I think I messed around and picked the Falcons. They got blown out. So I stopped messing with them. Are they going to move on from Kirk Cousins at some point? Because he hasn't played well, and I heard a report that The locker room wants to move to Michael Penix Jr.
But they haven't even considered, Adam Schefter reported, they haven't even considered Michael Penix Jr.
They shouldn't. The season's over. They shouldn't. They should think about him for next year, but Kirk Cousins
has a
guaranteed
contract. Well, but if the
season's
over, that's why you would play Penix. Get him some experience going into next year.
Because, I mean, Kirk Cousins can't go nowhere.
I know, but if you're saying the season's over, why wouldn't you play Penix?
I guess maybe at the last game of the year, last two. I don't know. I just don't
I'm saying, what's the risk? You're saying, like, he'll get hurt?
There's no rush. There's no rush.
But if the season's over, and by the way,
Jordan Love didn't play.
But the Packers' games were all mattering. That's true. You couldn't. But by the way, Falcons are only one game out of first behind the Buccaneers.
They're not.
You can't say the season's
okay,
over.
Okay, fine. You're right. You're right. Statistically, they just have not been a consistent enough football team where I feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though they have some L's, they seem like just the overall better football team.
So the 49ers lost. They're now 0.1% to make the playoffs.
They're done.
Can you believe that coming into the year?
Devondre Campbell ended them.
But who would you have said coming into the year, like, locks to make the playoffs? The
49ers were a lock to make
right?
the playoffs.
Right, because their division was garbage,
you're thinking about repeat of the Lions.
You would have said they were a lock. You would have said the Lions were a lock. You would have said the Packers. I would not have said the Packers were a lock.
Make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's right, because you liked them.
No. Not because of liking. I'm saying last year, the Packers got the last spot.
No, but the Packers were...
There was no guarantee.
Crick, when
the Packers have backed it up, but there was no guarantee. When the Packers are in as good a division as they are in, there is no guarantee that they were going to make the playoffs.
When
this
has
year.
There ever been a season where the Green Bay Packers seemed to be ascending and they didn't back it up the next year? They went 6-10 Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starting quarterback. The following year, I think they went 10-6 or something like that. They always do, Craig.
But
we build.
Saying, but whatever happened 15 years ago, I don't know how that's relevant to this team this year.
They got the same team back there, the youngest team in the NFL, and they improved by getting Xavier McKinney. They got rid of their defensive coordinator.
Again.
All the writing was on the wall for
again,
this team
but
to be better.
Who knew? You just can't assume that. That's why I think you have to in some way appreciate this. And especially when Jordan Love got hurt. Come on now. There's ways this season could have gone that look very differently.
When they won without Jordan Love, that should have been the
it was.
That should have been the final nail in the coffin saying, oh, this is a really good, Matt LaFleur's a really good coach.
I think
this
it was.
Team is good.
I think it was. But coming into this year, I'm saying, to me, the 49ers were way more of a lock to make the playoffs than the Packers.
Oh, 100%. And even when you look at Vegas, I think 9.5 was the... What's the over-under for the Packers?
I'm saying I think the Eagles and the Packers were kind of similar, right? Because the Eagles were coming off a bad year.
Finish, yep.
But I think the Lions and the 49ers were the two teams that you would have said were
100%.
The locks.
100%. I thought that could have been your – those were the two top dogs coming
I mean, that's
year.
What it was last year, and that's a lot of times how you think about it coming in. And the Lions have backed it up, and the 49ers are now out. But you have teams like the Rams who are on a roll now. You have teams like the Buccaneers who were playing without both of their receivers. I guess both of those teams, right? When the Packers played the Rams, both Nacua and Kupp were out.
Yep.
The Buccaneers have played without their top two receivers for a lot of the year. The Eagles had Devontae Smith out for a while.
AJ Brown missed
AJ Brown
too.
Was out for a little bit. But Saquon has just
been
unbelievable. So the NFC is really, really interesting. And today you have those two interconference games that will be those big measuring sticks. You know, first for the Lions against the Bills, which is the most likely Super Bowl right now. If you look at the analytics, Bills more likely to be in the Super Bowl than the Chiefs. And then you have that battle of Pennsylvania between the Eagles and the Steelers. But Sunday Night Football will be the Packers and the Seahawks, who I don't think people realize that the Seahawks are a game clear of everyone coming in this week. Now, Rams got the win over the 49ers, put a little pressure on them. So this is a monster game for the Seahawks. This game means more to the Seahawks than it does the Packers, right? I think we kind of look at it that way.
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
So it's at home and it means more. Packers are still favored coming to this game. Do you know the last time Jacobs played against Seattle? Do you know what happened?
I sure do. He almost went for 300 yards. They went into overtime.
He did go for 300 yards.
Oh, I thought he almost went for 300.
If you combine his receiving yards.
Oh, well, there it is. He went for over 300 total yards.
So Josh Jacobs dominated the Seahawks the last time they played. So I think that's going to be on both of their minds, right? You know he's thinking that. You know the Packers have watched all the film on that. So I would expect.
And their run defense is a little shaky now, too.
Who?
The Seahawks,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But with everyone thinking that, you know, we've heard people say, Ron Jaworski always says it, the easiest time to throw in the NFL is on first down, and the easiest time to throw in the NFL is on first down in the first quarter. So knowing that, do the Packers come out like they have so often this year, establish a run with Jacobs, or do they come out throwing the ball because Seattle's thinking about giving up 300 yards to him the last time they played him when he was on Vegas still?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I think based off the fact that this team struggles to stop the run, their defensive backfield is a decent play, held up this year. I think you got to run the football. You got to get the ball to Josh Jacobs to control the clock as well. And with your defense being a little bit injured on the back end, you don't want – Geno Smith can throw interceptions, but also they can cook on offense. They have a lot of threats. You want to win that time of possession battle. You want to make sure that you're able to
– You also – night game ticking. There in Seattle. Yeah. You don't want to get their pass rush going. We've seen that a few times, right?
And their pass rush is much better than the Green Bay Packers pass rush as well. And so overall, you got to do things to equalize what they do well. Like you said, pass rush. You got to run the football and you got to keep the ball in Jordan Love's hand in his offense, because I don't feel good about the Packers. If anything happens where they get down early, I don't feel good about it.
Oh, really?
No, this game...
Remember, Kenneth Walker's out for Seattle.
Yeah, Charbonnet had a good week last week.
So Charbonnet had a great week last week. But I'm saying Seattle doesn't have like a great milk the clock kind of offense. Like, and Geno Smith will throw picks.
He sure will.
And Jordan Love is explosive. I'm not saying if
Craig,
the Packers, to me, if they get down 10-0 early, I'm not sweating that.
Craig, there's
Packers.
I mean, how often do NFL teams make it through the season? Like, we look at the Lions, who are 11-1, right? And their one loss, I think, was to the Buccaneers.
Yes.
And so,
in a game that they were in the red zone 6 times.
And so when I look at it, every team has that whoopsie game. Every team has that letdown game. And
the Seahawks
are a good football team.
No, but this wouldn't be a letdown.
But you
this
look at the schedule, remaining
schedule. This is a first-place team.
Yeah, but the Packers are favored on the road against a first-place divisional team.
But it's Sunday Night Football. This would not be a letdown. This would be a... Okay, I guess Packers aren't as good as we thought they were.
And that's the whole point for me, is that the Green Bay Packers have nothing to gain from this game. Because regardless of what happens in this game, either you're going to say Seattle wasn't that good, or they're going to say if the Packers lose, they're going to say, oh, well, now the Packers are losing to an okay team in Seattle. So
if
the Packers
win 42-21, I think we'll be like, damn, the Packers offense is legit. They just went into Seattle and ran the ball and threw the ball. But if it is like 24, 21, 28, 24. If the Packers win that kind of game, it certainly helps avoid the Commanders passing them, which Wilde explained is really key, because you don't want to have to play the 2 seed and then the 1 seed the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Yep.
So it actually helps them. But in terms of the perception, I think you're right. Unless the Packers have a dominating performance, I don't think people are going to give the Packers a lot of credit,
Craig,
if they win,
matter.
But they will. If they lose, they'll heap a lot of questions on them.
And the Packers, and my thing about the 42, even if the Packers put up 42 points, they're going to say, what have you done against a really good football team? That will still be the question
But what I would say back to that is the Packers have only lost 4 games this year, and it's by a combined 20 points. And it's to the Lions, the Eagles, and the Vikings.
2 losses and 2 losses, right?
Right?
They have 5 combined losses.
Right, I'm saying, so those are the only teams they've lost to all year, right?
People still don't believe in the Green Bay Packers.
And I'm not saying I do either.
And so,
but I'm just saying, if they beat the Seattle Seahawks, I think you have to start putting these things on the resume. Not saying that they're better than the Lions, but to me, the best thing on the resume was how they played at Detroit last week. And I know it was a short week and all that, But
Detroit, they were missing a lot of their D-line, Craig.
They were.
Their defense was, and they were able to harass the Packers. I'm telling you,
how good Jordan Love looked
anything.
In the second half. And I know he only threw 20 passes. I know he only had 12 completions. The way Jordan Love looked at the second half last week made me think, just the way he had the feel for the offense and the throws he was making and his comfortability in the pocket, that made me feel the Packers could beat anyone in this postseason.
Yeah.
I know that's not like based on a fact. It's just based on a feel.
Craig,
that's how good Jordan felt to me in the second half of that game at Detroit in a tough spot.
I'm here to tell you based off facts. When you have an offense as explosive as the Green Bay Packers offense, you can play with anybody, and they've been able to show that. So the offense is going to be there, and that's what gives me confidence. It comes down to the defense, and I said this. The Packers defense ain't going to stop a lot of teams, but turnovers. Turnovers are key. If the Green Bay Packers, as they did in the playoffs against the Cowboys last year, if they can force some turnovers, that's where they can win.
But
these
they
got
to convert them to touchdowns.
That's what they've been doing since the bye against the Eagles
week one. They didn't convert those early turnovers to touchdowns, and that's why they lost to the Eagles in week one.
It is.
So I think it is causing them, but it's also about converting them. All right, we'll have our Palermo's picks when we continue. It is the last Sunday Karma of 2024 on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin, presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So, Kyle, I rip on you when you struggle. I got to give you some love. Last week, look at you.
Yeah.
First place in cover five at all of Good Karma Brands.
Yeah, by myself.
43.5 points. You had the Jaguars. You had the Seahawks. You had the Niners, who we don't even remember like by now. But the Niners actually dominated
the Bears
last week. I had the Bears,
yeah,
right?
I told you that.
Killed
trust
me.
Him.
I had a pretty good week besides that game.
I wanted to pick the Rams, but you told me not to, too.
Rams been on fire. And Rams would have picked up 7 points for you last week. You had the Chiefs, who lost, but only 1.5. And then you had the Bengals, who covered a plus 43.5 for you picking.
Yeah. About time.
By the way, I do want to just thank everyone. This is our last show of the year, and we appreciate everyone who gets up with us on Sunday morning and supports us. Watches us on YouTube, listens to us on ESPN Madison, 100.5 FM, our original station at Good Karma, the first ever sports station. Of course, WBEV in Beaver Dam, our first ever radio station back December 2nd, 1997.
Yeah,
but since August of 98, we've been doing sports in Madison, and we appreciate everybody who supports us. And similarly, since 2004, we've been in Milwaukee from the One Call That's All Gruber Law Offices studios. So I just want to sincerely thank everybody who spends time with us. We know how many options there are, whether it's podcast, whether it's live radio, whether it's video, however you're consuming us, we appreciate it and appreciate all the support of our partners who advertise with the show, of all of our teammates here at Good Karma, and especially you who watch and listen to us across all the different platforms. So
we got a lot of people watching, Craig.
Yeah, and we're excited about next year, right?
We're
adding Greg Scalzo and Alex Strofe to the show. These Sunday mornings have been fun. You know, Kyle and I don't do this because we get paid to do it. We do it because we love it, and we appreciate all of you who wake up with us and hang out with us, whether it's to or from church, to or from errands, on the AirPods while you're mowing the lawn, you know, while you're getting ready for your NFL football weekend. We appreciate it all. So I just want to thank you all for being a part of this this thing that we mess around with every Sunday morning. So, Kyle, as we look at the games this week, we don't have that much time to run through them, but we do have time to also thank, as I mentioned, our partners. Palermo's picks are brought to us by our great friends at Palermo's Pizza, who they'll be back for 2025, bigger and better than ever. You know what I'm hitting tonight? I already have them in my mind.
What is that?
The Screaming Sicilian breadsticks.
Mm.
I picked those up this week. I know you love the toppings and I love the toppings, but Harper loves her some breadsticks. So I decided to get the Screaming Sicilian breadsticks. The creativity that comes from our friends at Palermo's, whether it's the just the toppings bowls that they have, whether it's all of the different combinations, you can support Wisconsin's hometown pizza like we do. So when you go to your grocer's freezer, look for Palermo's Pizza, which isn't just Palermo's brand. As we said, it's Screaming Sicilian, it's Urban Pie, it's Connie's, it's so many different brands. How about Surfer Boy from Netflix? There'll be another season coming up of Stranger Things at some point. Want to thank Palermo's for their loyal support of this show. Who you feeling today?
You talking about just the Packers? You want me to go through my whole list?
Yeah, we on time for cover five.
Well, I'm feeling like the Packers are going to have a letdown, but I can't go against my Green Bay Packers. Maybe they shock me and they shock a lot of Packers fans and make us get out this rut of a feeling. And I got the Packers 27-20 as they go to Seattle and win for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I think the Packers win also. You know, I've picked against Packers a lot more than you have because you never do. But I do think Jordan Love in a big spot I trust. And the Packers finally have a field goal kicker, right?
They do.
In a big spot you trust.
Yeah,
I know he's not perfect anymore, right? But he, you still trust him in a big spot. Geno Smith is really good. He'll compile numbers. He'll also give you a few opportunities. He's going to give you a few opportunities, and this defense has been opportunistic. I think on the road, they still force two turnovers, and I think they end up winning this game by a field goal. I think the Packers get it done. Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. Don't settle. We appreciate y'all. We're excited to be back with you in 2025. And by the way, you can hear that Eagles-Steelers game, I know, as the late game today. We were talking about how good that game is. That game is right here today. It would have been, but we have Green Bay Game Day coming up. So that game would have been on ESPN Wisconsin, but instead you got Green Bay Game Day leading into your Seahawks game. Kyle, for the last time for this show, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.